Well, here's a good news, true story of God doing an undeserved favor for Israel through Caleb's brother, Othniel. And Othniel is a judge in Israel. God makes him a judge so that he might help the people who are in big trouble. And so here's what happened. The people who know God did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forget God and they turn to idols. They pretty much say, well, the stuff in creation, we need more than we need God. That's a common problem in our hearts throughout history. So the people began to serve Baal and Asherah. Just two descriptions of those idols or false gods. Baal was almost like a work god or a farm god, since agriculture was big in those days. Represented livelihood, crops, and flocks. So if you worshipped Baal and bowed down to Baal and paid homage to him, you had a better chance of having the right kind of crops, the rain would come, and the right combination of sunshine, and so forth. It was almost like a self-salvation gospel. And people would often sacrifice to Baal their own hearts, you might say, and even the lives of their families. So kiss Baal enough and you'll have what some people refer to as the good life. And that kind of trend is with us today. We don't call it Baal, but probably self-oriented materialism, you might say, which human heart's susceptible to. And then there was Asherah, god of sexuality. Sex was a gift. Sex was a big deal from God. So they said, well, let's worship that. Let's worship sexuality. Make it impersonal. Make it intimacy without commitment. And Asherah was like a feel-good, no-love, degrading activity. Took a gift of God and just said, oh, you know, just go off the charts with it. And so God's people said, we love Baal and work, and we love Asherah and sexuality instead of loving God. Let's make a big deal about our work and about our sexuality. We can have a parade about, you know, who we are and how we feel and all of that. And so they could have had work and sexuality as gifts from God to thank him for. No, but they worshipped and served the creation instead of the Creator, which is a common problem that our human hearts have. And so the Lord's anger burned against his people. And we know God loved them, but love does get angry when it sees a threat to the loved one, even if the loved one is the actions of the loved one, him or herself. So you think of your own life, you know, who have you been the most furious with in your life? It's probably not a stranger, probably not the neighbor who you can't remember their name, but it was probably a family member or another Christian brother or sister that you were close to, and then you're not close to them, and then you're furious. And that thing. And so God, you know, his love is a love wanting to bless, a love wanting to have us respond to him. And when we don't, he takes action on our behalf. And so God says, hey, I'm dumping you off to the pagan king of Aram, and you're going to serve him for 8 years. So it was a rough bunch of consequences for God's people. But the people cried out to God, and God sent them a deliverer, Othniel. And that's a good lesson for us. When we're in trouble, we need the Lord's help, and we need him to send a rescuer for us. The rescuer happens to be Jesus himself, who would put our hearts right with him and put our path. He's the way to heaven, you know. We put our trust in him. And so Othniel would bring deliverance to the people. He fights against the king of Aram, wins with God's spirit, and the ending good news of the event is this, and the land had peace for 40 years. 40 years. 40 years of rest, 40 years, okay, we're done wandering away from God, and we're not going to serve, you know, the bad idols. We're not going to be under the oppression of a foreign ruler. So you can imagine 40 years of rest for the land. I don't think any of us have experienced that, at least even as a blessed nation in the United States. Has not been 40 years of peace. You know, you got to go back way, way, way back, even if you could find that experience. And But only God could pull that off for Israel. And what if the peace of the land was really to represent their peace with God, which they could have in their soul? And even the circumstances of their life working more to the honor of God than to their own selfishness. That's peace. Even if they feel like they're falling apart, if God's getting the honor, then there's something redemptive, even in the hard times that they go through. And so the 40 years of peace with God, God's very own peace given to us, he offers that through his son Jesus. Hits our thinking, hits our emotions, and 40 years of peace in our soul, you might say. An undeserved gift, and that's a part of who Jesus is to us. And so a little bit about peace in the Bible as God's word. You know, peace is it's an emotion, it's a thought process, it's a reality of conflict managed, you might say, or responded well to. Perhaps absence of conflict, that would be a massive surprise on an occasional basis. But God leads us beside those still waters occasionally, does offer us peace with himself. Mentioned 360 times in the Bible, mostly in a positive manner, peace from God. In the New Testament, 110 times, a whole bunch of times. Gives three warnings in the New Testament about false peace. Okay, so there is that, you know, watch out for trying to get peace on your own, it's not going to work. When I was growing up, this is a bad way to look at life, but that's the way I looked at it. The only experience I had with peace was back in the late 60s when people would march around, what they would call hippies and so forth, and they would do this. That meant peace, okay? And you wore a headband or something, and you had a peace sign, you know, you put on your T-shirt, and you walked around and made a lot of noise, and I thought, well, that's peace, you know. I don't want that. I thought peace was bad. Get that. Peace is a bad thing. Let's get rid of it. And that was just my response. And the Bible does give warnings of people trying to get peace on their own. But remember, three warnings in the New Testament. 107 presentations of peace in a good manner. Okay. And again, when I was young, when I heard John Lennon singing about peace, I thought, I hate peace, you know. That was, you can't let, peace be stolen by somebody who, maybe you don't like the lifestyle or something. Great songs, but bad lifestyle. You can't just say, well, I don't like peace because of what can happen. Hey, God says 107 times in the New Testament, this is good. This is good. You know, I should have known it wasn't the so-called peaceniks who were hepped up on peace. It's God's people who are into peace, right? They're the ones who know about peace. And they're the biggest promoters of peace would be the followers of who? The Prince of Peace, Jesus. And so we could get that, regain that Bible perspective on peace. And remember, peace in the Bible is a doctrine, not just a feeling or an emotion. In other words, it's a teaching. Often in the Bible, we take the things like peace, love, joy, and that's kind of the feeling aspect of the faith. Then we have the doctrines, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay, the details of the cross, and we kind of keep them separate. They're one. Okay, they're all absolute truth. Peace is an absolute truth that God would give to change our hearts so that we might know him and follow him. So here, wonderful things about peace, the Bible would tell us it means to bring together. So when we're separate from God, he can make us at peace with him. Having a rough time with my boss, then I learned to walk in some pleasant experience with them, you know. To bring together means quietness, rest in your soul. You see these signs around it say stay calm. Calmness is an indication of peace, sense of well-being. When Jesus said, be still to the waves, he was saying, you know, peace, hush to the waves. Shalom, that's a big word for Jesus and throughout the Old Testament. One of his favorite greeting words, shalom, peace, a sense of oneness with God. That's what he came to bring. So Othniel, he fights this war so that the land might have peace. And in our souls, God could become our peace and confidence when we say, okay, we cry out to him. We recognize worshiping work too long, worshiping things in creation too long, you know, sexuality, success, ourselves, whatever the idol of the day happens to be. And so God offers us peace. And if he would give peace to Israel in the land 40 years, could he give peace to a soul that you'd be able to say, well, I had a lot of troubles in life, but you know, God's peace never did leave me. He saw me through. He gave me calmness when the storm was big. And it's the way the Lord is. That's what he could do for us. Mentioned some things from some old teachers there, Mr. Spurgeon, Mrs. Young, and Mr. Tripp. They say, peace is God's gift to us at all times and in all circumstances. So that's who he is. He's our faithful friend, so we don't have to be weighed down by that trouble on our own. He's our burden bearer. Like what a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. Okay, a good friend will do that, but the Lord does that first. And because of the Lord, he sustains us with his peace. The words of the teacher is this, set the Lord before you at all times. Lord, help me think of you as the peace. That's the truth. God is at our right hand. When you're praying, talk to God about what troubles you. He'll show you how to handle the problem. And often if God doesn't give you specifics, he'll give you himself. Okay. When you go for surgery and the surgeon comes in, good morning, I'm ready to do the surgery. Personally, I don't want to hear about, you know, every step of the surgery and every sewing of the needles and whatever they're going to do. Just let me sleep. Okay. And when we follow the Lord, we say, okay, Lord, you're the surgeon for the day. You're on call for the day. I'm going to put my trust in you. You tell me what I need to know going through this trouble. But primarily, I want to know you. And God will offer himself to us. I think often on God's word when facing trouble. God's word changes the way we think when we remember his truth. He's a wonderful counselor. He understands you far better than you understand yourself. After a trial, I often say, Lord, you're bringing me through this time. You knew I was going to fall apart when I came through this trial. But that's okay. If I fall apart, then I know you'll put me back together. God's peace to bring together. Bring your soul together again. God's goodness is perfect. You will continue to struggle with your sin and everybody else's sin until you get to heaven. So that pain will be there, but his peace will be more victorious than the pain. More lasting, more strong. God's infinite. The pain is finite. Just a little while. There's some inspirations of people saying, when I'm in pain, I just say, well, Jesus went through a lot of pain at the cross, but I'm going to attack that pain with God. And I'm going to accept what I can't change, but I'm also going to accept God who can change me. I'm going to trust him. And so tell yourself about the Lord. He's your salvation. Here's some, I wanted to get Mr. Tripp in here. He talked about peace as being a part of who Jesus was. In fact, three times in the Bible, God says, I am peace. It's like one of his names. I am peace. He says, peace came when Jesus was born. Peace lived. Peace died. Peace rose again. Peace reigns on your behalf. Peace indwells you by his Spirit. Peace isn't a faded dream, like dreamland. But peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. He would come and be that peace for us. Here's some scripture that kind of drives that home for us. I tried to pick an early verse of peace and a very late verse of peace in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. God told Abraham, you will die, you will go to your fathers in peace. In other words, you're going to die in peace. That's a good news. Lord, when everything's all done, I'm going to be going with you because of your love and grace and salvation. Abraham needed to hear that because he was going to have all kind of ups and downs, you know, with family life and so forth. And Jesus says, grace and peace to you. That calmness, togetherness, strength from Him who was and is to come. So Jesus is about to tell the world, okay, this is how it's going to end. It's going to be rough and you're going to need me. And He says, I want you to have peace before all this stuff happens. Gideon, he was a fighter kind of guy. He built a time of worship to God, an altar, and he called it the Lord is Peace. So again, if you love the Lord, you'll love peace. Take it out of the hands of what you think is a suspicious thing. Put it back in the hands of God. That's who creates peace. Okay, just because there's a counterfeit peace, don't say, that's bad. No, peace is a good thing. I like this one, simple prayer. David prayed, I will lie down and sleep in peace for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Good prayer to pray before sleep time, before surgery time. Good prayer to pray in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. I prayed this at 3 a.m., and sometimes I had to change it by saying, Lord, tomorrow night I'll lie down and sleep in peace, because I never did get to sleep. But God was still God, right? Even when there's no rest for the wicked there. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Together with God, together with your own soul, as much as you can be together in your soul with others. I tried in my life many in the early days of following the Lord to be at peace with everybody. But it didn't work. I spent my whole time trying to get reconciled to people who, they said, just stay away from me. Got it. And it was actually freeing to say, I'll just put it before God, you know. On my end, there's peace. And we let the future be in the Lord's hands. Prince of Peace. Jesus offers Himself as our peace. We could trust God and have peace with Him. Be justified by faith through peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God says, I'm the God of peace, but I'm going to crush your enemy. I like that peace. Can't have peace unless I know the problem's going to get taken care of. Good promise right here. Romans chapter 16. Next to fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And again, Jesus is our peace. And last verse from a tough guy, James. James said, wisdom. Everybody likes wisdom, you know. Sometimes I think wisdom is a little bit more info, a little bit more competency on the computer. Wisdom. But wisdom from heaven. First of all, pure, single, focused on God, peace-loving. You know, a wise person loves peace, considerate, submissive, and full of mercy. Now, you think again of groups of people who come together. And the wise people that you get to rub shoulders with, and hopefully God will make you that kind of person. You're single-focused, you're peace-loving when you're at the task, you're considerate. This is good for all the students should have to memorize this verse before they go in every class. They're considerate. You know, they're submissive. The teacher says, do double the homework tomorrow. That's not submissive. Full of mercy. Oh, you know, I'm going to look out for the other guy. That's a wise person. God makes you that way. You want to be a wise person. You don't want to be unwise. So, and the Lord does that for us. And helps for knowing God's peace, to follow in Israel's steps. In closing, cry out to God for help. That's what the Israelites did. I don't think you could ever think of a situation where you honestly asked God for help and said, please, I'm coming to you, and I'm broken, and I'm accountable for any problem that I've brought to the table. But, Lord, would you be there? He'll be there. He's faithful on his end. So cry out to God for help. Psalm 145 says the Lord is close to those who cry out to him, to all who call out to him in truth. And then confess your sin, because sin steals peace. When you're in sin, your experience is this. I'm depressed about yesterday, I'm bored with today, and I'm afraid of tomorrow. But when you put your trust in God, it's like, today I'm at peace. Yesterday he's healing up. And tomorrow I'm confident in what God will do. The peace of God will come. And when you're bound with maybe guilt and sin, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I acted this way, and that's haunted me ever since. And all those things you've already talked to God about. A good pastor said this: when it comes to those sins of the past, you've already talked to God about. Just don't repeat it. Delete it. Okay, the computer example there. Don't repeat it against yourself, or maybe when others are sinning against you. Once you deal with it, you know, you don't have to tell the story again. You know, let me tell you all that they did that was bad. Don't repeat it. Delete it. Boom. It's committed to eternity. Committed to the peace of God. And then through the storms, continue, even though God offers his peace, to expect conflict, pain, loss, and tragedy. That's the hard part of life. Just because he says you could have peace doesn't mean all the troubles go away. Remember, Jesus said, in the world you'll have trouble, but in me you may have peace. So you have them both, and one is stronger. Peace from Jesus. And the last thing to know God's peace, love is a great vehicle for knowing his peace. Your loving actions to others. If you go to the dear people in Texas and keep praying for them, you know, when they feel just anxious and wiped out and in loss, it'll be so many from neighbor to neighbor who will say, I have some water. Here's some water. I have some extra food left over. Here's some food. I got my stuff cleaned up with some neighbor's help. Now we're going to help you clean your stuff up. And when you express love, you'll have peace. When you express love, you'll have peace. You'll say, I don't feel like I'm all flustered anymore. Because we're passing on good things. And this is stronger than all the real pain that certainly is there. And the whole message, of course, the rescuer led the people in that. And that's Jesus. Put your trust in him, and he'll be faithful to you. Simple prayer that we close in could be part of your prayer. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we pray words of your Bible. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So that's a good thing. We might seem foolish and say, could God give America peace for 40 years? Well, you did that once, Lord. Could God give Israel peace for 40 years? Well, you did that. We do ask for outward peace. We ask for peace between us and God through Jesus, through peace in our own souls with ourselves, peace with others in our souls. And think of the Lord, the song testimony, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. So peace is not like falling off the face of the earth. It has a bright increase to it. And Lord, give us peace through trusting Jesus. your Son. If we've never done that, might we pray with all our heart, Jesus, I receive you as my God and Savior. What a good Lord you are. And so give rest in their soul, courage in their heart, confidence in you to each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.